Numbers 9, about the pillar of cloud. Well, on the day that the tabernacle was raised up, the cloud covered the tabernacle. And at evening, it was like the appearance of fire, and then this cloud goes with them, and they have to follow it. Well, this was the cloud, which had covered Sinai. And the holy place and the most holy were filled with this cloud of glory. It was this which filled the tabernacle and would later fill the temple. But it was God's intention, according to Numbers 14, 21, that his glory should fill all the earth. And the very same words are used, that God's glory would fill all the earth. So this was to show that, in fact, it was not at all his intention to dwell in some kind of sacred space, but actually his intention was that sacred space should become the whole planet. And yet for those who perceive it, that is in fact already the case. When David was on the run from Saul, he was fearful and so upset that he could not actually get to the tabernacle, that he couldn't keep the feasts. And yet, he comes to perceive that God's glory fills all the earth. That even then, the earth is full of your glory, because he perceived it. Likewise, he says that he had come to realize that he dwells beneath the wings of the cherubim. Well, these were the cherubim wings that stretched out over the Ark of the Covenant, over what Paul calls the mercy seat, the lid of the Ark of the Covenant, on which the high priest would sprinkle drops of blood every year at the Day of Atonement. And yet he feels that he actually lives there. He feels that this sacred space is actually all around him, and that is where he lives. So you see here the huge difference between religion and spirituality. It is because of this mistaken idea that God is sort of just in a certain place that people may be very pious and holy when they are in church, in the sacred space as they see it, but they leave that meeting and they just live lives like anybody else does. And this is so wrong. It's the mistake Jonah made when he thought that God was basically just present in Israel and he could get a ship to Tarshish and escape from him. And as I say, God was seeking to wean them off that idea, because this cloud that was over the tabernacle would be taken up, verse 17, from over the tent, and the children of Israel had to follow it to whichever place where the cloud remained. And it kept on moving, just, I think, to show them that the whole earth is a sacred space. It's not that God is limited in one particular space. So verse 17, whenever the cloud was taken up, the children of Israel took their journey. Or in Hebrew, that phrase is pulled up their pegs. Now, of course, to shift a huge community like that was a major undertaking, to keep on the move, to settle down, and then, whoops, the cloud of glory is moving on. We have got to pull up our tent pegs and shift everything and go forward. So the idea is that all that happened to Israel in the wilderness is relevant to us, because when we were baptized, this was the equivalent of Israel being baptized, as it were, into Moses, in the cloud and in the sea, Paul says. The cloud was water, there was water above them, water both sides of them as they crossed the Red Sea. This was like baptism. And then they went through the wilderness, and that is our experience now. And they were led by the angel that was in this cloud. And yet God makes his angel spirits, and I think this looks forward to how we are led of the Spirit in our lives. We're told in Isaiah 63 that they vexed his Holy Spirit in the wilderness, just as we can. That is quoted about us in the New Testament, that we also can vex the Holy Spirit. So as they vexed the angel which led them in the cloud, so we can vex the Holy Spirit, Paul says. So we are being led, and yet we don't know the itinerary of our lives. We don't know how long we shall stay in any one place, because when the cloud, verse 19, stayed on the tabernacle, then the children of Israel kept Yahweh's command and didn't travel. And you notice from that that simply sitting still in one place is described here as keeping Yahweh's commandment and not traveling. In one sense, our lives until Jesus comes or until he dies are in a sense a waiting game. We're just hanging on, we're just waiting for him to come. Of course, in another sense, we're running a race, etc., taking a journey. But I'm just saying it was equally obedience to his commandments to not travel. Well, sometimes, verse 20, the cloud was a few days on the tabernacle, and they remained encamped according to the commandment of Yahweh, they travelled. Whether, verse 22, it was 2 days or a month or a year that the cloud stayed on the tabernacle, the children of Israel remained encamped. When it was taken up, they travelled. It seems there was no particular prior warning how long they were to remain in any one place. They might have stayed anything, it says here, from a year to 2 days. It was all at the commandment of the Lord. And I think this is indeed how our lives go, that you may buy a property or settle in a property or a geographical area and you think, yep, this is where I shall stay. A bit like Isaac when he builds his encampment at Rehoboth and he feels that, yep, this is where I'm going to settle down, and then straight away he's moved on. And it is like that in our lives very often, that we are moved on. This also happens, of course, mentally and spiritually. You can live in the same house that you were born, and until the day that you die, you can die in the house you were born and never shift much out of it and just stay in that geographical area. But God will still be moving you on. Life, in that sense, is a journey, and there is a certain instability to it. And this is picked up very much in the language of Abraham and his seed, being strangers and pilgrims, wanderers, always moving. And that is applied to us in the New Testament. Now, as I say, it doesn't necessarily mean that we, in a secular sense, necessarily have no stability. But it is true that we will be moved on. And if you ask the question, well, why this continual journeying, this continual travelling? Well, it's clearly in the wisdom of God that we should do that because it will lead us to greater connection with him. It will give us a sense that this is not our resting place in any form. It's why if you talk to most people, they will have moved on pretty radically in their maybe understanding of the Bible, in their spiritual perception of things. They may have moved on from churches, one denomination to another, or whatever. Now, of course, you get people who are just unstable and never happy where they are. But I think the healthy way of spiritual life has got to be a journey. This glory of God is not limited to one place. It keeps moving, and we are to follow. Now, I'm not saying that you just sort of change your doctrine for the sake of it, that you might have been taught absolute truth about something in your childhood. Well, don't just kick over the traces and throw it away for the sake of it. God will lead you. God will lead you. Now, that may not be the issue that's in question, but your understanding of many spiritual things will be expanded. It is absolutely fallacious to think that, well, as I was told when I was baptized, well, you know, keep to the things that you've been taught to the end of your days and you won't go far wrong. Well, yes, but yes and no, because if that is all the whole journey is about, it's not a journey, just holding on to a certain set of theological propositions that you were given in your youth. Now, as I say, one doesn't throw away truth just for the sake of moving on, not at all. One keeps that which is true and rejects that which is false. But the whole process of growth, God in his wisdom has set up to involve our being on a journey. Now, it is fashionable to talk about being on a journey, but a lot of people are not actually moving anywhere, or they're moving nowhere fast. We are led. We are led by the angel, which for us is the Spirit. As I say, they were led by an angel in a cloud, and God makes his angels spirits. And Isaiah 63, they vexed his Holy Spirit. And Ephesians quotes that and says, you can also vex the Holy Spirit. In other words, we are being led. And you can resist that leading. But that is then to vex God's purpose with you. So it's not an easy life, because we are continually being moved on. Whereas in religious terms, whatever religion you look at, from Christian Protestant groups to all sorts of various non-Christian religions, what is thought to be wonderful is if somebody was raised in the religion, in the same church or whatever it is that they have, and accepted the teaching of their parents and maintained exactly their identical beliefs to the end of their days, and then they died. Well, as I say, I'm not saying change your doctrine, throw truth away. But that can also be a sign that that person never actually individuated. They never actually followed the leading of the Spirit. They never actually went anywhere. And, yeah, you can judge individual lives. I'm just saying that that is a distinct possibility.